Hi there, Eclipse here. Will you take a moment to explore a world with me? A world where dismissal can be made with a bah humbug, where greediness is an action that leads to a haunting interaction, and joy can be found when we acknowledge our mistakes and change. This is the world where dreams live while you're awake. Welcome to Eclipse's Star Stuff Stories.
The Christmas season is upon us again, so I thought I'd tell you a little tale about my dear Uncle Ebenezer.
Hold on there, Tiny Tim. He's actually my uncle. If anyone should tell his story, it should be me, my dear boy.
You've a point, Master Fred, but ever since he saved my life, I felt that he's sort of honorary uncle. And I don't really have much to do in the first telling of the tale, so I thought...
Didn't have much to do, my dear boy. You were an integral through line of my uncle's story of salvation. I was a mere happy-go-lucky blip that tied him to my dear mother.
Yes, but I am...
All I got was a bar humbug and the bill for a giant dinner party. No one even thinks of me. Everyone remembers a poor boy with a crutch.
I don't actually need it anymore, thanks to Uncle Ebby.
You got the final line.
What?
You got to say the final line.
You mean, God bless us, everyone.
Yes, I mean, God bless us, everyone. Is there another final line you're aware of? I think not.
Now, look here. I don't think that should matter. I'm the youngest and I never get
to... God bless us, chirping, and I'm just there to be yelled at. Yes,
I just wanted to tell Uncle Scrooge's story this year.
I've had so little time with my dear uncle, and now I feel it's important as his only living family member.
The teachers don't give you a break when you're all healthy.
All of our Christmases. And I'm thinking... The ghost of Christmas future!
But why?
Is Uncle Scrooge in trouble again?
Silence!
You can talk? Well, of course I can talk. Just because a person doesn't speak much doesn't mean they're mute. I just prefer gestures and pointing for dramatic effect.
Why are you here?
Exactly.
Because you two have already made it through an entire page of dialogue, and you still haven't begun to tell your story. It doesn't take a fortune teller to see where this is going. I'm taking over.
How well, rude. You know, I was doing very, very well.
Silence!
Now, if you're both good, I'll let you help me, and there will be hot cocoa when we're done.
Oh boy! With marshmallows?
And candy canes? Right, being quiet now.
Our story starts on Christmas Eve.
What did you say as a baby?
All of London is overcome by holiday spirit. Everyone's just a bit cheerier, just a bit brighter, just a bit nicer. Everyone, save one Ebenezer Scrooge.
Get out of my way! Can't a man walk to work without having to suffer the sounds of your Christmas caterwauling?
Oh, look out! Oh, my foot, Scrooge!
Me eye!
Oh. Every year with the singing and the charities and the... But it's Christmas, Mr. Scrooge. Ah, humbug on the lot of it.
That's Scrooge, all right.
Ebenezer made his way to his counting house. The firm was known as Scrooge and Marley. Never mind that Marley had been dead 7 years. 7 years to the date, as a matter of fact. Scrooge had never bothered to repaint the sign.
He thought it was a waste of money.
And Scrooge never wasted money.
He was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Hard and sharp as flint, from which no steel had ever struck out generous fire. Secret and self-contained, and solitary as an oyster.
He was greedy and lonely.
That's what I said.
Yeah, but you sure used a lot of words to get there.
Fine. He was greedy and lonely.
Your uncle's so greedy, he didn't get rid of roaches. He made them pay rent.
Oh, very good, Tim. Yes, yes. Your uncle's so greedy, when he went camping, the bears hid their food.
Yeah, well, your uncle's so greedy. Sorry.
Sorry.
Once at work, Scrooge left his office door open that he might keep his eye upon his clerk, who was copying letters.
That's me dad.
Scrooge had a very small fire, but the clerk's fire was so very much smaller that it looked like one coal. The clerk, Bob Cratchit, put on his white comforter and tried to warm himself at his candle when Scrooge's nephew came in.
You're on.
My big scene! Uncle, wanna come to my Christmas dinner this year?
Will your wife be there?
Of course.
Then no.
Would you prefer she weren't there?
I would prefer not to be asked at all.
Well, too bad. Your family, so you're invited. Merry Christmas!
Bah humbug.
And that's it. That's my big scene. But can Fred tell the story this year? No! Sorry.
As the workday came to a close, Scrooge addressed poor Mr. Cratchit.
You'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose.
If quite convenient, sir.
It is not convenient, and it is not fair. If I was to not pay you for it, you would think yourself ill-used, I'm sure. But you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work.
It is only once a year, sir.
So's tax season. That's no fun either. Fine. Take your day off, but be here all the earlier next morning.
Scrooge made his way home. Of course, to call it a home was generous. It had all the warmth of an iceberg. It was sparsely appointed and barely heated.
There is no bad weather, just the wrong clothes. Put on a jumper and stop complaining.
But that evening, as Scrooge sat alone by his... sure, let's call it a fire. He was visited by the ghost of his long-dead partner and best friend, Jacob Marley.
Boy, the carolers could use a tune-up.
Tis not carolers, Ebenezer. Tis I, Jacob Marley.
Nope.
Excuse me?
All Hallows Eve was 2 months ago. You're unfashionably late, old friend. Not to mention just unfashionable. Come on. No one's worn those stockings for 6 years at least.
Scrooge, you must heed my words.
I will not. Besides, you're not even real.
I am so.
Are not.
Am so.
Are not.
Are not.
Am so. Drat. Fine. Say what you came to say and be done with it. I'm tired and wish to rest.
Scrooge! See you the long chain I bear?
Is that what you're dragging all over the place? Careful you don't scratch up my floors.
Scrooge, this is the chain I forged in life. It bears the full weight of my sins.
What sins? You barely even dated. You were nothing but a good man of business.
Mankind was my business. And while you can't see it, the chain you forged is fully this length and more. I would save you from my fate, old friend.
And how do you propose to do that?
You will be visited by 3 ghosts. The first, when the clock chimes 1.
In the morning? That is way too late for guests. Inappropriate, really.
The second will visit at the chime of 2.
I'm detecting a pattern.
And the third at three. Heed their warnings.
Will you leave if I say okay?
Heed their warnings. Heed their warnings, Ebenezer. Heed their warnings. Heed them.
Later that evening, at the stroke of 1, true to Marley's word, Scrooge was visited by the ghost of Christmas past.
Oh, that's my favourite.
Why?
Because I get to see Mum.
My favourite is the ghost of Christmas future.
Suck up.
I prefer teacher's pet.
Money, 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 money. Ah, well. Was that? What? Where? What was I thinking? See that? The stroke of 1 and nothing. I can't believe I listened to a thing that Jacob said. Back to sleep with me. Money, 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 money. What the? What are you doing? Are you putting my hand in warm water?
You fell asleep first. It's camp rules. I didn't make them up.
Are you the ghost whose coming was foretold?
I am. I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Oh, isn't it exciting? Now get out of bed, you old coot.
Why? Where are we going?
Why, to the past, of course.
Long past?
No, your past. Put on something retro. It's gonna be a gas.
What do I have to do?
You're going to need to switch your shoes. Right shoe on the left shoe on the right. Now, turn your robe around backwards and walk in a circle saying, Mecca lecca hi, mecca hiney ho.
All right. Shoes and tie and switch, and then the bunny goes round the tree and through the hole. Oh, that's uncomfortable. You know this robe is not reversible. All right. And I'm supposed to say, mecca hiney. Nothing's happening. Am I doing it wrong?
No, you're doing it perfectly. And you look ridiculous.
Now, look here. This is the wrong time of night for such...
Just take my hand, Ebenezer. Let's go for a walk.
Before Scrooge realized what was happening, he was transported through time to a Christmas past, where a much younger Scrooge sat alone at his boarding school on Christmas Eve.
Why didn't he go home like the other kids?
Grandfather never called him home. They had a, complicated relationship.
But this particular Christmas, Scrooge's sister came to visit.
Fern!
Evie, I'm sent to gather you home.
For Christmas?
For always. It took some convincing, but I got Dad to agree to bring you home.
Oh, that's marvellous.
I had to. Without you there, I'm getting blamed for everything.
Oh my gosh, your sister was adorable.
She was my best friend.
And she passed away shortly after the birth of your nephew, Fred. Leaving you alone once more.
Hello? Alone? I know I was a baby, but was I invisible?
Shh! Let us visit another Christmas.
It's the Fezziwig Christmas party. There's my old boss, Mr. Fezziwig.
Time for Secret Santa exchanges!
I loved Secret Santa.
Oh, one my gosh, year, me I too. Bird feeder. Always go over the spending limit, though.
Proud.
They call it breaking the rules. Really I call it Christmas spirit.
Is this about my journey or yours?
Right. Sorry.
There's Mrs. Fezziwig. That lady knew how to throw a party.
Come on, Mr. Fezziwig. You owe me a waltz.
And there's the young lady you wanted to dance with.
Belle. Wasn't she lovely?
Absolutely. Completely out of your league.
That's unnecessary.
And yet she agreed to marry you.
That's right.
And then you turned into, well, you, and ruined it all.
Hey, it takes two.
You paid more attention to your gold than her.
Now, that's not entirely true. Besides, gold is so pretty.
Scrooge, for a smart guy, you can be pretty dumb. You longed for family, but you left your nephew to be raised by his cousins. You longed for love, but you left your fiancé for a bag of gold.
I long for sleep, but I'm out here with you at 1 a.m.
No, you're not.
What? Where am I? Oh, it's my bedroom. Was it a dream, then? Who left that bowl of water out here?
Scrooge had been transported back just in time for the coming of the second ghost.
2 a.m. already? Carolers at this hour? Ah, they don't even know the words. What is that gibberish?
That's not gibberish, viejito. That's Espanol. You gotta get out more, mijo.
Wait a minute. That's not what the ghost of Christmas present sounded like at all.
Yes, Tiny Tim is correct here. He was a jolly English fellow.
That was that present. This is this present. That present is past. This year's present was last year's future.
That's unnecessarily confusing.
2 years from now, we'll have a Scottish present. Absolutely no one will understand him.
Are you the second ghost?
Sí, soy el fantasma del presente Navidad. I am the ghost of Christmas present. Now come on, mijo, let's get this party rolling. I only get one Christmas. I'm not wasting it in your bedroom.
Scrooge was transported to the house of his clerk, Bob Cratchit.
What is this place?
Tú no sabes. This is the casa de Cratchit, where Bob and his señora live with all their kids.
Hey, that's my house.
Here comes Bob with his tiniest hijo on his shoulder, Tim.
Hey, that's me.
Shh. Guess who's back?
Splendid timing. I just whacked Christmas dinner on your table.
That's Christmas dinner? Ew, what are they so excited about? It looks more like a pigeon than a turkey.
And yet, they're rich with Christmas spirit.
This looks so good, Mum.
Why does the boy use a crutch?
No sé. Nobody knows, really. You don't pay the poor guy enough to go to a doctor. Tim just keeps getting weaker. But what do you care? There's charities that'll take care of him, right? He's just part of a surplus population, no?
That's not fair.
Sí, pobrecito. I know. It's so unfair to you.
Are you mocking me?
Un poco.
Will the boy live?
Lo siento, but so far as I can tell, there will be an empty seat at that table soon. And a crutch without an owner. Oh, no. I'm bumming you out, señor. I can tell. Come on, amigo. I'm taking you to a proper fiesta.
In the blink of an eye, Scrooge was transported to the home of his nephew, Fred.
I do throw a heck of a Christmas party. You all must come to the next one. I'm making eggnog.
Laughing all the way.
Oh, thank you, the voice of legend.
All in one, maybe.
Now, this looks fun.
It is fun. Your nephew throws the best parties on the block every year. He hopes you'll show up, but you don't.
What would I wear?
It's okay, viejito. Without you there, they all get to talk about you. Don't worry, though. Fred always sticks up for you. He loves his deal. Don't know why. You're kind of hard to love.
You don't know me.
So look, I only get one Christmas to have fun, so I'm going to take you back home and then hang out at Fred's for the rest of the night. Don't take it the wrong way, but you are kind of an aguas fiestas, you know? A party pooper. Okay, bye, viejito.
With that, Scrooge was deposited once more in his cold bedroom, just in time for the clock to strike 3.
Will this night never end?
All right, future. Time to do your magic.
We'll narrate for this bit. You go be you.
Are you the third ghost?
The spirit was dressed fully in black and spoke not a word. Its face was shadowed in the recesses of its cloak, and only bones appeared on hands where the flesh had long ago fallen away.
I think you may be the most fearful of all. Ghost of Christmas future, I assume.
Again, the ghost merely nodded and gestured for Scrooge to follow.
As Scrooge made his way through the sudden dense fog, he realized he was in a graveyard.
Well, this isn't very festive. You bring me to a graveyard? What are you trying to say? Is there someone I know here? Well, that's not surprising. I'm not a young man anymore. I've known many people who have died.
The ghost ignored Scrooge's mutterings and merely gestured to a specific grave in an unkept corner of the cemetery.
Oh, well, no one I know would be buried over there. Why, look. I don't believe anyone's ever visited this gravesite. Grass is untrimmed, and there's... What is this? Is that dried egg on the stone? Oh, look, an old note. It says, couldn't have happened to a more deserving man. Well, that's not nice at all. Let's see now. Who's... That's me! That's my name on that gravestone! What are you telling me? Is this my end? But I can change, I swear! You've got to give me a chance! I mean, what's the point of showing me all these things if I can't do anything about them? I'll give Bob a raise. I'll get the finest doctor for Tim. I'll go to Fred's party. And I hate parties, so you know I'm serious here. Please.
please!
With that final plea, Scrooge buried his face, weeping into the robes of the Ghost of Christmas Future. But when he lifted his face free once more, it was only his bedsheets that were pressed to his face. Sun shone through his bedroom window, and outside the bells were chiming that it was Christmas Day.
Is it Christmas morning? Could it be that the ghost did it all in one night? What is this feeling I have? I'm as giddy as a schoolboy. I'm as light as a feather. Oh, could this be happiness? Could this be, dare I say, joy?
Scrooge threw open his bedroom window to take in the sights of the most spectacular Christmas morning he'd known. He saw a young boy passing below and sent him on the mission of delivering a giant Christmas goose to the Cratchit house.
The largest one you can find.
With a hefty tip for doing such a chore on Christmas Day. Scrooge then proceeded to dress himself in his festive finest so that he might, for the first time, attend his nephew Fred's Christmas party. The next morning found Scrooge awaiting the arrival of Bob Cratchit at the counting house.
Cratchit, is that you?
Why, yes, sir. I'm so sorry, sir. I know I'm a bit late, but last night was quite festive. Much more festive than expected. I may have overindulged.
I won't suffer excuses, Bob Cratchit. There's no excuse for coming here at this time of day.
Truly,
you should have come in much later.
Sorry.
Now go throw some extra coal on that fire. No man should be asked to work in a room so cold. And another thing, I'll be doubling your wages, effective immediately.
I'm sorry, did you just say...
No, it is I who am sorry, Bob. Take this as well. I should have raised your wages long ago, so here is a great deal of back pay. Let us take care of that family of yours, and let us find a doctor for your youngest boy, Tim.
Are you sure you're all right, Mr. Scrooge?
I have not lost my senses, dear Bob. I've merely come to them.
Scrooge was good to his word. He became one of the finest men this city had ever known, and one of the finest friends of Christmas the world had ever seen.
He came to every party I threw.
And to me, he became like an uncle. And if that's all right with you, Fred...
Welcome to the family, Tiny Tim.
That was beautiful.
Well, look at that. She's not so frightening when she cries.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Fred, you want in on this?
And God bless us. Bless us. Everyone.
This adaptation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol was edited and produced by Amber Ray Snyder and written by Vanessa Webb. Original music composed and performed by Tara Lawton and Chris Cornwell. Additional holiday music adapted and performed by Johnny Rogers. Special thanks to the voices of Amy Stricker, Noreen Skinner, Nicholas Hodge, Matthew Murray, Peter Leibold, Shayna Toby, Nelson Rodriguez, and Stephanie Rogers. Continued thanks to Nelson Rodriguez for assistance with the Spanish dialogue. For more information on Star Stuff Stories and The Eclipse Show, please visit us at theeclipseshow.com. Bye-bye.
Ooh. 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 Ooh.